Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law, forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands, because I love them. I search out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song, wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a privilege for me to be able to lead in worship, and I always find it a privilege when God asks me to come somewhere and share the word together with you. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open. If you've closed them, open them up to that passage again as we go through Psalm 119, verses 33 through 56 this morning. Like Florence told the kids, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, but we're not going to go through the whole thing, but I've selected some verses that I think are going to fit the theme quite well this morning, and those are verses 33 through 56, and the title of the message this morning is God's Guidance, His Promise, and His Salvation. But I'd like to start out this morning just by asking you this morning, people or Americans, and not only necessarily Americans, but people in general, love their gadgets. Remember when the iPod came out? Everybody had to have an iPod. You went jogging down the road because you needed to stay in shape. You all needed an iPod, and you had to put songs on it. You could put hundreds and hundreds of songs in an iPod. We stick them in our ears. We run down the road. We're in the world all by ourselves. It's cool. Or remember those cell phones when they first came out? You could talk on the phone wherever you were. That was really neat. Now we have to take pictures of with them. Now we have to text with them because we get these sliders. So we're texting now, and I just learned how to text. And that's pretty good for me. But we don't text anymore because now we Twitter. How do you keep up with it all? And at the same time now, the other day I was watching the news, and we come out with an iPad. Whatever that is. Gadgets. We all have them, and I'll bet you most of you have them with you today. In church, right? Can't go anywhere without that cell phone. Our gadgets. Now when you drive down a road, your car even talks to you. Doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about? You punch the numbers in, street address, name of the town or place, And boom, turn left, 1/2 mile. What do? You turn left. Or turn right, 1/2 mile. You make a right-hand turn. And all of a sudden your car says, you have reached your destination. Wow, I'm there. What is it? Come on, you know what it is. A GPS, right? You have one? I'll bet a bunch of you, sure. It's the guy back there's got one. A GPS, they're pretty cool, aren't they? They're pretty amazing. They tell you where to go. They get you where you're going. Think about this. Christians, we have a GPS. God's guidance, God's promise, and God's salvation. We have a GPS. Now today, I want to look at Psalm 119, beginning verse 33, going through 56. But what I want to tell you this morning first is, as I was studying this passage, I looked at Psalm 119 as a whole, and I love what Matthew Henry says, the commentator, about Psalm 119. And this is what he says, and I quote, "This is a psalm by itself, like none of the rest. It excels them all. It seems to be a collection of David's short, sudden breathings and elevations or outbursts of his soul to God, which he wrote down as they occurred. There is seldom any coherence between the verses, but like Solomon's Proverbs, it is a chest of gold rings, not a chain of gold links." Sudden outbursts of David's soul to God, Matthew Henry says. They're outbursts, giving praise to God. And what I really liked was, it's a chest of gold rings. If you look at Psalm 119, the verses aren't necessarily linked together. You can take any verse, just take a verse out of Psalm 119. "May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant." It can stand alone. It can talk to you. It can speak to you. Or pick another one. "My eyes fail, long looking for your promise when I say, when will you comfort me?" Any one of these verses can be speaking to a person's life all by itself. They're not necessarily linked together. A chest full of gold rings. So in our study for this morning, Psalm 119, beginning at verse 33, I'm going to take these verses, 8 verses at a time, together, and look at them. Verse 33 through 40 says, "Is a prayer of instruction in God's will, as the psalmist longs for his precepts." Look at verse 33. It says, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees." Verse 34, "Give me understanding." It's like the psalmist is begging God to teach me. I need to be taught. I need to be taught so that I can what? Understand your will for my life, your law, your word. I need to be taught so that I can understand. It's almost like he's begging God. And then when you jump down to verse 35 through 37, he's like asking God here for directions. For directions in his life. He says, direct me. Direct me towards the truth of your word. Because that's where I'm going to find the light. And he says, in verse 36, he says, turn me. He's asking God for directions. Turn my heart, he says, towards what? Your statutes. And away from those things that are selfish. Turn my heart, Lord. And verse 37, turn my eyes. Isn't that what a GPS does? It tells you to make these turns. And God's directing and turning his heart towards his statues and his eyes away from those things that are worthless in life. You see it? The psalmist is asking God for directions. He's looking for wisdom, understanding, so that he knows how God wants him to live. I looked up these verses in the New Bible Commentary too, and the New Bible Commentary says about these 8 verses here, it's the whole law throughout a person's whole life, and his whole heart is which he delights in it and utterly rejects the alternative paths. This is the single-mindedness of one who fears God, who fears his displeasure, and he longs for his blessing. Guidance. Looking for guidance from God. Verse 33 through 40. And then we look at verse 41 to 48. And here the psalmist is asking the Lord to deliver him. Not to take his truth from him, from his mouth, and then he will honor and love his commands. Verse 41 says, Lord, you have made a promise. You have made a promise of salvation. In verse 42, and since you have made that promise, I trust in your word. In and of myself, I'm a miserable person. But you can only make me happy. I trust your word, and that's what gives me delight. Verse 43, I put my hope is in your law. And so, verse 44, he says, I will obey it. I've put my hope in your law, and now I'm going to obey it. It's the word of truth. It's always going to be in my mouth. It's going to give me wisdom. It's going to give me understanding. It's going to give me courage. And verse 45 says, I'm going to walk about in freedom, and I'm going to speak about it. In verse 46, I'm going to talk about that courage. I'm going to talk about that wisdom. I'm going to talk about that hope I have in you. And I'm going to talk about those things. David experienced that. He knew it. In verse 47, he says, I take great delight in your commands because I love them. In verse 48, he again says, I love your commands. David experienced it. He had an affection for the law. It not only gave him comfort, but he consented to them. He knew they were good for him. And he says, they're good for me as well. And that's what he's trying to teach us here. The New Bible Commentary says of these 4 or 8 verses, it says, here is a man who is right with God, enjoying personal fulfillment, ministering to others, the man of God abiding in the Word of God. Abiding in the Word of God. He believes his promises. Guidance, promise. And then the third set of verses here, verse 49 through 56. God's word to the psalmist is comfort. It's a guide, whatever circumstances he might come up against. He says in verse 49, he says, remember your word to your servant. Remember your word. You made a promise. And I am pleading for that. It gives me what? He says in verse 47, it gives me hope. And that promise, verse 50, preserves my life. What is that promise? That promise is of salvation. God promised salvation. And the psalmist says, it gives me hope, knowing that you are going to keep your promise. It makes him alive. It quickens him. He says in verse 51, I don't turn back from your law. When the arrogant mock me, I don't turn away from your law. But it gives me comfort knowing that you're going to keep me steadfast. You're going to keep me firm. You're going to keep me cheerful. When things go up against me, or when people anger, or when the anger of the Lord rises up against those who hate him, you're going to keep me cheerful. You're going to keep me strong. And he says, this is my practice in verse 56, that I'm going to obey. We're on a pilgrimage. Our lives are a pilgrimage. Our homes are temporary. Look at verse 54. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. Our lives are temporary. Our homes are temporary. We're not going to stay here. When we become weary and we want to deviate, we become tedious of life. David says, sing a psalm or sing a sweet song borrowed from the Word of God. He says, it fills your life. The New Bible Commentary says of these 8 verses, it says, comfort in trouble, vitality to meet opposition without deviating, emotions anchored to true moral values, uplifting thoughts when otherwise depression might strike home. No blessing surpasses that of knowing and obeying God's precepts. Being assured of salvation. God's guidance, God's promise, and God's salvation. We have a GPS for life. We have one. It's right here. It's all wrapped up in one book. God has given us what? His Word. He's given us Word, His Word, to guide us. To know what's right from wrong. He's given it to us so that we know how to live to please Him. How we have to live according to His will. And I'm going to go into that chest of gold rings here now, and I'm going to pull one out. And it says, your word, O Lord, is what? Eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Psalm 119, 89. It stands firm in the heavens. Your word is eternal. Another gold ring, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If this place was pitch dark and I walked across here and I went, what would happen? I'd fall because I'm not familiar with this here. And there's a step here. I'd fall because there's no light. What happens to us in our lives when we turn away from God? We stumble. We fall. We fall into sin. What happens when you're driving down the road and you make a wrong turn? What's your GPS tell you? It either, well, depending on what brand you have, it says, recalculating. Or it says, turn around whenever possible. You know that? Well, the same thing goes for a Christian. When we get messed up, when we need recalculating, when we need to be turned around, where do we go? Back to God's Word. 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this: all Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we need recalculating, we need to go back to Scripture. We need to go back to God's Word. We need to get turned around. God's guidance. Whether it's through a friend, whether it's through someone quoting some Scripture to us, someone who cares about us and wants to turn us around, whether it's the elders who come to see you, we need to hear it. We need to be recalculated. We need to be turned around. God's guidance. Another one of those gold rings. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Psalm 119, 9. So you see, friends, God has given us his word to guide us, to correct us, to train us, so that we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's guidance. Secondly, his word is filled with promise. His word is full of promises. I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 17. And if you still have your Bibles open, Genesis chapter 17. And this is the story of Abraham. When God came to Abraham and he says, let's pick it up in verse 3 of chapter 17. And Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants." God promised Abraham, and at this time, he was 99 years old. And God made a promise to Abraham that he was going to bless him. Many nations were going to come from him. And if you look at verse... Oh, I don't have it right in front of me. But Abraham kind of laughs to himself when God says this. It's like, yeah, right. 99 years old and I'm going to have kids yet? My wife is 90? Remember that story? God was faithful. God kept his promise. Abraham had a son. He was 100 years old. And God blessed him. And what came from that son? What nation rose? The Israelites. The Israelites came from Abraham's seed. And if you turn a few pages over back to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, here is another promise that God made. The Israelites were captive in the land of Egypt, and God called them out to go to the promised land that he had made a promise to Abraham, and Moses was to lead them. Moses fell into sin because he didn't speak to the rock, instead he struck it. And God makes a promise here in Joshua chapter 1. It says here, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you, to give to them, the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea to the west, No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God made the promise to Moses. He continued it to Joshua, and he kept through on it. They were led into the promised land by Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. God made that promise. And if you follow the story as it goes, you'll see in the book of Nehemiah how the people of Israel fell into sin, and they were scattered. But the book of Nehemiah tells us that Nehemiah realized that the people, there was a remnant that was still left in Jerusalem. And when Nehemiah heard that there was only a remnant, the walls had been broken down, he prayed to God. And this is what he says, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, is praying before you day and night, for the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed your commands, decrees, and the laws your servant Moses gave. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even your exiled people are at the farthest horizon. I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen for a dwelling place. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by great strength in your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. God promised that if they repented of their sins, he would remember his promise. He would gather his people back together. And Nehemiah was allowed to rebuild the walls. The people were allowed to come back together because God forgave. They repented of their sin. In the New Testament, Jesus teaches us this. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have that light of life. Remember, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jesus says, I am that light. I'm the one you need to follow. You need to believe in. He says in John 14:23, he says this, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. What a promise. What a promise. God is going to make his home in me. God is going to make his home in you. He promised it. And he makes that home in our lives through his Holy Spirit. God lives within us. What a promise. God's word is filled with promise. And then thirdly, his word is filled with the promise of salvation. God promised New Testament Christians or the New Testament or Old Testament heroes of faith that if they kept his commandments, they lived according to them, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you, he said. Another one of those gold rings. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 119:81. My soul faints. Can you say it? My soul faints for your salvation, for the longing of your salvation. I've put my hope in your word. In other words, you said it, Lord. I believe it. I trust you. You're going to come through. I trust your word. I I want you to turn to one more passage in the New Testament, and that's John 8:54. John chapter 8. And here Jesus makes a claim about himself as the one the Father sent. John 8, verse 54. Jesus makes a promise here, and this is a promise that was made way back to Abraham. John 8:54. And this is what Jesus says. He says, Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am." Jesus makes the claim to be God. He makes the claim that he was there before Abraham was even born. He fulfilled, he is the fulfillment of that promise that was made to Abraham. So where do we get the promised salvation? Where do we get that? When you look at God's word, and you come to Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says this: this righteousness, or this promise of salvation, comes from God. Through what? Through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It says there is no difference. We've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. God says, through faith, by believing in Jesus Christ, you will receive that promise of salvation. We all fall short. We all have sinned. But it's through that belief in Jesus, through his redemption, that he justifies us. It's just as if I've never sinned. So you see, we do have a GPS. We have a GPS for life. God gave it to us long before we ever figured out how to invent one. So what's that mean for us today? Well, for me, it begs a question. It begs a question. And the question is this. It's simple. Do you use it? Do you use the GPS for life that God has given us? Do you use it? Do you believe it? Do you believe the promises that are written in it? And if you say no, I encourage you to read it again. Read it with new eyes. Let God speak to you through it. Let him assure you that his promises are true. Talk to someone and ask God to come in your heart today so that you can not only believe his promises, but you can also be assured of your salvation. You know, next Sunday, you have the opportunity to again remember Christ's death, his resurrection. The elders are going to call you to the table of the Lord for communion. And we come together then and we remember and believe that Christ gave his blood, he shed it on the cross for each one of us who believes in him. And it builds up your faith and it strengthens you and it makes you appreciative again of what God did for us. But this week, we're called to examine ourselves, to look at my own life. Do I fall short? Yeah, I fall short. Do I need to ask God again for forgiveness? Yes, I do. But examine your life and see if there's some things or some changes that need to be made. Use God's word. Use it because he gave it to us. It's our guide for life. It's filled with promises, and we're assured of our salvation. You know, I don't know what turn your life will take. I don't know what turns my life will take. It can change in a moment. And I know some of you know that. Some of you have experienced that. It changes just like that. It happened to me about a month ago. I mean, it was nothing serious, but it changed my life. I had a little accident. I had a finger amputated. And you need to learn to deal with that. It's nothing serious, but it happened. It changes your life. Something can make you stop in your tracks just like that. I don't know what turn your life may take, but God gives us his word. He gives us his guidance. He gives us his promises. He gives us his assurance of salvation. And no matter what turns our lives will take, we know we're not lost. You know, when I'm driving down the road, I hate being lost. I hate not knowing where I'm going. But you know, in life, I really would hate being lost eternally. But by believing and knowing God's word, I can say, thank God, I'm saved. Thank God, I'm saved. Can you say that this morning with me? Thank God, I'm saved. Let's pray.